Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I think Whoopi Goldberg, I know she says she really needs the money because she says she works for a living. And Whoopi Goldberg, this Hollywood actress, she's probably got millions and millions of dollars. She's on this phony show, The View, spouting her left-wing nonsense all the time. But, man, it sounds like she just is in serious need of help right now. I mean, this is like elder abuse keeping Whoopi Goldberg on the airwaves. So she is just like going off on all these crazy, weird rants. So did you guys hear? She's attacking this bakery in New York City. She went to go pick up her favorite pastry. By the way, do they use gas ovens to make her pastries? Because since the Democrats want to do away with you know, gas stoves, gas ovens, gas everything, I'm wondering, did Whoopi Goldberg, does her favorite bakery, do they use gas ovens? Do they use gas stoves at all? I'm just wondering. You know, California Governor Gavin Newsom, I just saw a tweet from Laura Loomer. He's buying a new big mansion in California, and there's a whole bunch of gas appliances in that house. But typical hypocritical leftist, you know, he shut down public schools, but his kids were put in a private school, so he didn't care. He wants to tell people that they can't have gas stoves, but look at this new mansion he's buying with all sorts of gas appliances. But anyway, so Whoopi Goldberg is attacking this bakery in New York City, claiming they wouldn't sell me a pastry because of my politics. And the folks from the bakery are saying, we never said anything about her politics. Our boilers were down. We were having problems with our boilers. So we told her, like, hey, we probably can't fill this order because our boilers are down. But she attacks the bakery. And then now she's continuing to attack President Trump's Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth, an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran. One of the stories I had on my stack of stuff for Friday's show was how Whoopi Goldberg, this was from the dailycaller.com, Whoopi Goldberg says Pete Hegseth clearly does not know anything about the military. Yeah, I'm sure Captain Pete Hegseth, who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, who's got two bronze stars for service. There's a difference between that and valor. I'll give you that. He doesn't know anything about the military, but these people are nuts. 60 Minutes, what a joke 60 Minutes has turned into. 60 Minutes, Scott Pelley last night on 60 Minutes had said something like about, well, Pete Hegseth doesn't have any government experience. So again, the guy was in the United States military. Is that not part of the U.S. government? The guy was deployed overseas. The guy has daily interactions with policymakers and policy discussions. Oh, if he was leading some liberal think tank like the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., though, oh, boy. Oh, look at how experienced he is because he's part of a liberal think tank. But when here he is, you know, interacting daily with policymakers, talking defense strategy and so many other things, and he actually served in the freaking U.S. military. You got these clowns on 60 Minutes saying, oh, he doesn't have any government experience. No wonder Team Trump didn't even waste his time with you guys and won big.
Securing America.
ICE is not wasting any time making a swift move hours after a Donald Trump election victory by asking companies to submit bids for technology and management tools to monitor illegal migrants. These surveillance plans call for the production of ankle monitors, GPS trackers, biometric check-in technology, and human agents to track people awaiting a court hearing or deportation. Although this would be an expansion on the current Alternative to Detention program, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd, says the timing of this call to action was not a coincidence.
Make no mistake, this is simply and only because Donald Trump won the election. Had he have not won the election, they would have never put this out.
The latest data from ICE show that only about 195,000 people are currently under ICE surveillance, with only about 18,000 of them using GPS ankle monitoring. Data Marie McNichol, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy conditions today, some snow showers move into the Bozeman area with an inch or two expected. And then we'll see rain showers moving into the Billings area. Temperatures will stay steady and falling into the upper 20s in the Bozeman area with highs in the low to mid 40s in Billings. Tonight, rain or snow shower chance early in Billings. Snow showers taper off in Bozeman. Lows in the mid-teens to the mid-20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
What are we going to talk about in the week ahead on Montana Talks? Man, I tell you what, just the news we've been talking about already. President Trump rolling out his cabinet picks. It's like watching the NFL draft, as Lara Trump pointed out. Plus, we've got the Montana Farm Bureau Convention about to be underway right downstairs from our Montana Talks studios. We'll be taking your phone calls and much more. So a big week ahead with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk Monday through Friday, right here.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One thing I've got to share with you early risers here in the 6 o'clock hour. This was something from later in the day on Friday. Brian Massard with Reminis Angus, you know, he's very close with RFK Jr., who President Trump announced would be his selection to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. And so anyway, so after it was announced late last week that you know, RFK Jr. would be President Trump's cabinet pick for HHS, I thought, man, let's see if Brian Massard could join us on the show to talk about what this would mean for beef country and for ranchers here in Montana and elsewhere across America. So, yeah, we ended up getting that phone call from Brian Massard. So I'll share a little bit of that conversation with you early risers here. Some of you, you know, a lot of you that aren't able to stick around later in the morning, I'll share that with you here later this hour of the show. There's a couple of things I want to say for later in the 9 o'clock hour. Do you guys remember, was it Friday morning? I think it was Friday morning we had Parker Phipps, the CEO of Signal Peak Energy, come in and join us on the program. And he made a very good point. You know, he was talking about this $6 million that the Bull Mountain Mine and Signal Peak Energy are going to give to build a hockey rink, a hockey arena in Billings, Montana. Well, just how cool that is, you know, that by supporting Montana coal, this is why we can have nice things. But then he also raised another good point. He said, hey, how many times have you been to a Little League baseball game and MEIC or NPRC is on the back of that jersey? Do these radical environmental groups like the Northern Plains Resource Council and the MEIC, do they do anything for our communities? Or is it all that they do is just attack our communities and try to destroy jobs in our communities, which is obvious? Anyway, I was reading the news over the weekend, and I see this news story by KTVQ Television. Here they go. They learned nothing from the election results. You know, and just like they propped up Liberal Senator John Tester and constantly bashed Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, here they are propping up these phony environmental groups. And they did this big story where they were, you know, trying to make the climate kids behind the climate kids lawsuit, they were trying to make them look like heroes. It was like a hero's welcome from this TV report. And I'm like, why do you prop these guys up? I mean, there are so many other actual people doing heroic work in our communities, actually building up our communities. But no, let's treat the people tearing down our communities like freaking heroes. Anyway, so we'll talk about more about that here later on. And then the Montana Supreme Court, they did a survey. It doesn't get any more Kremlin than this, does it? They did their own survey, and you know what the survey says? People like us. They really, really like us. We'll get to that later on this morning. But first, speaking of the Kremlin, did you guys see this news over the weekend? I shared this via X as soon as I got the Fox News alert.
This Fox News alert came out yesterday, I believe it was. Let me see if I can pull out my tweet here from my stack of stuff so I can tell you exactly what that Fox News alert had to say here, and then we'll get to Stephen Valentine. Let me see. Basically, what the Fox News alert was that Joe Biden, here we go, Biden reportedly authorizes Ukrainian strikes inside Russia with U.S. long-range missiles. And so there were a lot of people like Chad Prather and others who were saying, is this guy trying to start World War III before he leaves office? Stephen Valentine, what's your thoughts?
No, my thought is he's going to try to go out with a Medal of Honor saying, possibly stopped the Russia invasion in Ukraine. He could have done something like this a long time ago, but guess what? He waits until Trump gets elected president.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. Yeah, that's another way to look. Look, there's two ways to look at this, right? Is he trying to start World War III before he gets out of office? Or does he know that Donald Trump is going to bring all of this to a halt possibly even before he gets into office, because they know that the Trump train is rolling in? So is Biden just trying to say, oh, look what I did here?
Right. Exactly. That's what he's doing, Aaron. He's trying to make himself look really important, like he stopped the war in Ukraine, and he authorized it. You know, he could have done it 2 years ago. Matter of fact, if Trump would have been in office, this would never have happened. Imagine
exactly
how many millions of dollars and billions of dollars he would have saved the American public if he just let Ukraine go in there and take care of business. No. So we're going to wait till right before he leaves office, and he's going to look like a king, you know.
Well, I also, like, this, my thing, too, is, like, you know, with this whole idea of why do we have to be so involved? Look, if we want to sell them weapons or give them weapons, okay, well, why do we then feel like we have to tell them what to do or what to not do with those weapons, right? Then we're inherently getting ourselves more involved in the conflict. Whereas if they ask him, like, hey, Mr. President, what do you think about Ukraine using these weapons? It's like, not our issue. Yeah, I'm focused on America. Yeah, we gave them weapons or we sold them weapons, but do we need to be sitting here micromanaging everything and further wading ourselves into the conflict? Hey, no, that's I appreciate your point. I appreciate your call, Steve. Thanks so much for calling in. And yeah, that's the bigger picture. We never even would have had this war in Ukraine if Donald J. Trump had been president in the last 4 years. By the way, nobody puts baby in a corner. Did you see Joe Biden down in, I think it was Peru? They put him in the back row and she was right up front.
This is House Call for Health. November is Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Awareness Month. That's commonly referred to as COPD. Essentially, a disease that prevents airflow to the lungs, causing breathing problems. It's also a leading cause of death in the United States. And while smoking is the main cause, those who never smoked can also get it. It's a progressive disease that gets worse over time, and unfortunately, there's no cure for it. There are treatments that can help, though. Symptoms include frequent wheezing and coughing, shortness of breath when it comes to regular daily activities. Some of the daily complications can include working, walking, or climbing stairs, even concentrating and remembering things. It can also lead to other health issues, like depression or mental health conditions. Nearly 16 million adults in the U.S. have COPD. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We all get benefits from tax dollars, from the roads we drive on, the firefighters who protect our houses, and the courts and police that keep us safe. So why don't we make taxes voluntary? The answer is the well-known free rider problem. People will not voluntarily pay for things that they enjoy, whether they pay or not. If everyone tries a free ride on the backs of others, it all breaks down. The solution, compulsory taxes, is as unpopular as it is necessary. But the free rider problem pops up in other places as well. One of them is housing regulation. The solution to housing unaffordability, to build more housing, is not welcome in many parts of our state, especially at the neighborhood level. Let those other places become more densely populated, some might say, while we keep our big lawns and quiet streets. And if we free ride on other communities' efforts to boost housing stock, we get the best of both worlds. Except that if every community thinks like we do, nothing changes and the crisis gets worse. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Heriberto Ruelas Llorias. Hey, did you guys hear this news story about the Belgrade man who was arrested after shooting at the cops in Belgrade, Montana? Well, apparently, Heriberto is on an ICE hold in the Gallatin County Jail. The liberal media didn't want to tell you that key part of the story, but I had it for you. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint, plus MontanaTalks.com, podcast, audio, everything. Check it out.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Reduced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northlund. There has been quite a few announcements over the past week about key cabinet position nominees from President-elect Donald Trump's team. But one that has not yet been named as of this broadcast is a Secretary of Agriculture. Now, names continue to swirl around a potential ag pick, though at the moment, other cabinet position announcements are taking precedence. Agricultural policy expert Randy Russell with the Russell Group gave me his opinion last week on the matter.
Very hard to project who the secretary is going to be. You know, I've been kind of doing this since 1980. And if you had to ask me to give you a list of five people that were going to be secretary prior to their choice being made, I'd say about half the time the person that got the job wouldn't have been on that list. There's so many factors that go into it.
With that considered, Randy Russell shared these observations.
Number one, I think that you will see somebody that is strongly supportive of production agriculture, kind of putting production ag back in the seat at USDA, whoever it is. Number two, it's going to be somebody that I believe has had production agricultural experience and I think also has run something. President Trump is real big on having people that are governors, state departments of ag head, experience running businesses, et cetera. So I can't tell you who it's going to be because I don't think anybody knows at this point. A lot of that also comes down to you got to look at other cabinet posts, geographic diversity, male, female balance in the cabinet. So I think it's just too early to tell. But I do think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on putting production agriculture back in the seat in the Whitten building.
During Trump's first term, the incoming administration held off on an agriculture secretary choice until just before the inauguration. This is the Western Ag Network.
Ranchers, it's bull buying time, and Redland Angus is your headquarters for range cow genetics. Saturday, November 23rd, 176 coming 2-year-old range bulls and 80 range-raised bred heifers right out of the Redland herd south at Buffalo Livestock Auction, Buffalo, Wyoming. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on Northern Livestock Video. The more efficient a cow herd is at converting roughage, the greater the potential for reducing input costs and increasing profitability. For more sale day information, find them on Facebook at Redland Black Angus Ranch. The Montana Stock Growers Foundation is now accepting donations for their cattle drive. The program finishes donated steers at a Montana feed yard and aims to pair them with the Montana food industry and consumers. The entire beef supply chain is kept within Montana, and all proceeds from the program are invested into Montana's ranching community through scholarships, education, and leadership programs and conservation efforts. To donate a calf or make a monetary donation, visit mtcattledrive.org.
Returning back this morning, we see that Cargill's Regen Connect program has surpassed 1 million enrolled acres for the 2025 U.S. planting season, a milestone that Cargill says underscores ongoing efforts to support farmers in adopting regenerative agricultural practices. Through partnerships with farmers across the U.S. and beyond, Cargill is helping to transform agricultural systems for a more sustainable, food-secure future. The expansion of Cargill Regen Connects builds on programs Cargill recently shared in its 2024 impact report, which highlights the company's efforts to scale regenerative agricultural practices globally. In other news, U.S. sales of ag tractors decreased 14.2% in October compared to 2023. Sales of combines also fell during the month, dropping 34.6% compared to 2023. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I've said this line. Nobody puts baby in a corner, but they put Biden in a corner. This was down, I think it was in Peru. I saw our friend Heather Nauert was on Fox over the weekend talking about how, you know, basically Joe Biden's weak foreign policy stance has not only put him in a corner, but it's kind of put America into a corner. But Donald Trump is going to get us right back in the middle of the octagon, right back in the middle of the ring, right back in the center of the ring with a fighter like Donald J. Trump. But yeah, that's the question a lot of people were asking after this news came out over the weekend. Are they really trying to start World War III on their way out of office? Now, Chad Prather on X, he was suggesting that, maybe they're actually trying to get World War III going, and they're trying to use that as a way to prevent Trump from taking power. That one's a little more out there, but you get the point. Jay in Billings sent us a message. As a historical record, I hope we don't mark the calendar today as the beginning of World War III. Seriously, who are we to say to a sovereign nation they can respond only like this and not like this? Biden is Ukraine's armchair general. He says Biden is Ukraine's armchair general. A joke, right? Jay, thanks for that message. Let's go to Nancy and Roundup. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. I hope you all had a very nice weekend. A couple of things here. The First and Second Amendment. I don't know if you heard Trump Friday. Maybe you can get the soundbite where he was really going off. He's going to protect free speech, the First Amendment. He's doing something calling it the Digital Rights Bill. And this is going to stop George Soros and his radio stations from blocking free speech. Silicon Valley is going to get hit hard with their fact-checking and their misrepresentation BS. And he's really coming down on the Second Amendment, the carry and conceal. He's going to make it so that if you get a permit here in Montana or anywhere in the United States, it's good in all 50 states, including, listen to this, California and New York State. They're going to flip out. But Matt Gaetz, what I suspected from the very beginning, I think this is still a setup trying to get him out of Washington, D.C. for the way that he sabotaged Kevin McCarthy. And it appears, you know, that he was still being investigated for the taking minors across the border into Georgia for partying. And he abruptly left the House, so they couldn't investigate him any further. But the senators like Murkowski and Collins of Maine, they're not going to vote for him and several others. But this could be payback time for Matt Gaetz because of the way he sabotaged Kevin McCarthy, because Kevin McCarthy is very well-liked and respected, and Gaetz simply is not. So this is going to be fascinating to see what's going to turn out here. I'm really watching this close because this is how Washington, D.C. thinks.
It's good. Nancy and Roundup for the phone call. Like we say, your phone calls will help decide the direction of this show. I've got over a dozen different sound bites or news stories I could share and we could talk about, but let's go to this story. What about President Trump's cabinet nominees and will they get confirmed by the United States Senate? Now, I fully expect both Montana's senators, Senator Steve Daines and Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, will support President Trump's nominees, just like President Trump supports and supported them. But I thought this was interesting. Guy Benson and Karl Rove were on Fox News over the weekend. Karl Rove, I mean, you know, he's kind of been one of those, I wouldn't call him necessarily, I don't know if you'd call him a never-Trumper, but he's definitely, I think, still a little too much in the old Bush-Cheney camp, if you ask me. But Guy Benson, he says, I think if I remember it right, he says it's highly unlikely that Matt Gaetz gets confirmed.
as Attorney General. That being said, there are still a couple of options for Matt Gaetz to end up serving as Attorney General. Here's what Guy Benson had to say.
They have to look at, as has happened for centuries, look at the personnel put forward by the president, who I think absolutely deserves broad deference for the most part, but they have to make some choices. Presidents don't always get every single thing that they want. And if Wall Street Journal and other reporting is to be believed, there are potentially between a dozen and several dozen Republican senators who are either leaning no or would be no on this particular nominee. So a question would arise at that point, if that's true, because whispering to reporters is different than going on the record and voting. But if it's true that there are at least four or more Republicans against this, it wouldn't be partisan obstruction. Democrats can't filibuster him. I'm sure they wish they could, right? But they got rid of that tool for the minority during the Obama administration. That's their bed to lie in. But if four or more Republican senators, maybe a lot more, decide we're going to draw a line on this one, then the question becomes, does the president want to get into a massive political fight with his own party at the very beginning of his presidency for this one person? That remains to be seen.
All right. Yeah, there you go. That was Guy Benson on Fox over the weekend. But there was actually a story. This one came out a few days ago. The DailyWire.com had a piece, a very good write-up here by Daniel Chayton. This is how recess appointments work and how they could help Trump fill his cabinet. So if you've got a certain number of even Republican senators that would try to oppose, say, Matt Gaetz, or maybe try to oppose, say, RFK Jr., or another cabinet nominee. Now, President Trump has said, well, let's get recess appointments across the finish line. But apparently recess appointments can be tricky as well. So what's President Trump's option? Apparently he does have another option here. So there's one option, recess appointments. The second option to get his nominees across the finish line is a presidential option here. Through the Constitution. I'll tell you about that right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so if there's even a handful of Republican senators that try to block a Trump nominee on his cabinet that requires confirmation from the Senate, what are President Trump's options? That's where, you know, President Trump, when that whole Senate majority leader battle was, when they were right in the thick of that, that's where President Trump came out. And by the way, another reminder, President Trump didn't tell us who he wanted publicly for Senate Majority Leader. J.D. Vance didn't publicly tell us, correct me if I'm wrong, unless you guys have seen it somewhere else, he didn't tell us publicly who he wanted for Senate Majority Leader. So for all of you out there who are, you know, who are taking the bait to say, well, how come our senators didn't tell us who they were going to vote for leadership? Well, look, it's about having a functioning Senate. If we don't have a functioning Senate, a functioning Republican-controlled Senate, the Democrats want chaos in the Republican-controlled Senate. The Democrats want chaos in a Republican-controlled Congress. If we have chaos in a Republican-controlled Congress or a Republican-controlled Senate, then we don't have a functioning House and Senate to get President Trump's America First agenda across the finish line. Just remember that, folks. Same reason why in the Montana legislature, all these people who are taking the bait and screaming, well, how come they didn't tell us how they were going to vote? Well, you weren't screaming at your state legislators in the state House and the state Senate, how come they didn't tell us who they're going to vote for Senate President and Speaker of the House? It's because the reason they have somebody messaged us last week, and I apologize, I don't have the message in front of me, but somebody messaged us. They said, guys, stop taking the bait of the Democrats here. The votes for leadership are a secret ballot, just like your vote for when you vote for your leaders is a secret ballot. But anyway, it comes down to having a functioning legislature, a functioning caucus, and
and a functioning Senate and a functioning Congress. Anyway, I've gone on way too long about that one already. But what if, you know, some of these, the Murkowskis of the world, you know, these squishy Republicans, if that's what you want to call them, decide to try to block some of Trump's nominees? A recess appointment is one option. Daniel Chayton says this. Let's see here. What did I highlight? Let me get right to it. First things first. Here we go. Longtime Capitol Hill reporter Jamie Dupree explained in posts to X that the Senate Majority Leader, quote, has no power to allow a president to make recess appointments because Congress must approve an adjournment resolution for breaks of more than 3 days, which could be filibustered in the upper chamber. So the Senate Majority Leader alone can't just say, all right, we're going to go into recess, and then the president can make recess appointments. The Congress has to make that move, and then, of course, it could be easily filibustered. One potential workaround, however, is the president using Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution to adjourn both chambers of Congress if they cannot agree on a time to do it. An idea that Trump actually floated at the end of his last term, noting that such an unprecedented move would likely end up in court. After 10 days, Trump could then fill any vacant administration posts, Dupree said of such a scenario. The downside of that presidential power is that basically those cabinet members would not be paid. That's in federal law. And their time on the job would expire on January 3rd, 2027, unless the Senate approves their specific nomination. So that gives them about 2 years to work in those jobs, roughly. And they wouldn't get paid. But a guy like Matt Gaetz, I think his family has a significant amount of money, so he wouldn't even have to worry about taking the federal paycheck. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. RFK Jr. got a chance to catch up with Brian Massard on Friday. Anyway, here you go for those of you that missed it. Oh, wait a minute. Is that the right one here? Yeah. That's just the intro music from the conversation. Okay, let me roll it again for you. Okay, I thought I queued it up in a better spot. Here we go. This is Brian Massard, past president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, and he's got Reminis, Angus, and Dylan.
Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am for the beef industry, for our country. I mean, the lineup of people that are going to be making some serious changes is pretty darn exciting.
This is something you've been talking about for quite some time. We've had you on the radio before, and you've talked about how the beef industry, how cattle ranchers are basically discriminated against by our own federal government. And if we really want to make America healthy again, beef's got to be a key part of that conversation.
It does, and it's even bigger than beef, just saturated fat. President Trump wants to see measurable difference in 2 years. The quickest way to do that is to replace all the seed oils and the broilers and the boilers all across the fryers, across this country with tallow. That takes the discounts on yield grade fours and fives away. It helps the dairy industry, the hog industry, the chicken industry. It helps everybody. And that's the quickest way to make people healthy, too. The number one driver of heart disease and diabetes and obesity is seed oils. It blocks so many things. It's not good for our system, and that's been done on purpose. And RFK has been the only person that can get to a spot and help change that I've dealt with in 40 years.
Apparently, you talk with him every single day, practically. What do you guys talk about?
We just go back and forth on stuff. Right now, I've been working really hard to get one specific person into the USDA or into the HHS and I cannot mention any names right now, but there's one person in our country that can change this whole, that understands the science, has more data than anybody, and he's just carried that forth. We were gathering heifers last week, and he's on the phone texting me back and forth, and getting that person in that spot. So that's really exciting. Now we're moving on to trade and federal lands and what got missed last time with the Trump administration, what didn't happen with the BLM, what didn't happen with the Forest Service. And a vital thing that happens every time a Republican president gets in there, our dollar goes up, our exports feel the pressure, and we don't shut the valve down on our imports. And that is so key. We can't have Costco grow and have these record profits while we're selling caulk house for $600 this go around. And that's what happened last time Trump got in. We had the biggest market crash since 1973, and it will happen again if we don't get real-time trade parameters put in there. We don't have to stop trading. We don't have to come up with a great big tariff on there. We just have to have a valve that goes up and down on our beef trade. And he can do it, and that's what we're working on right now.
So you think a lot of these changes could be made very quickly, like when we talk about food pyramid conversations, things like that?
Yeah, very quickly. The food pyramid's going away. The dietary guidelines, I'm pretty sure, are going away. They're going to scrap all that because it's all corporate capture. It has been for 60 years, and the right people are aware of it. RFK is aware of it. We've got the support team in there with him to help take care of that. And that can happen very quickly. Kids can get healthy again. We're going to have better food in schools, hospitals, for our military. It's going to be a win-win for everybody. And rural America is going to get revitalized because they're going to stop drying up when we can sell our products and we can make a living out here. And we don't need a single dime from the government to make all this happen. Just a few things need to change. And that's what we're working on. That's been the big challenge with me, is we don't need a government program. We don't need a new study on all these things. We just need a few parameters. And we have failed as an industry on, and not 100%, but past administrations and our own industry organizations, we have missed the boat of getting some things done right. And I think we have a great opportunity right now to make some huge changes.
All right, there you go. That was part of our conversation with Brian Massard, past president of the Montana Stock Growers with Reminis Angus. You know, he talks about making America healthy again and how quickly it can be done. If some of you are skeptical about how quickly we can see a health turnaround, how quickly you can see a health turnaround, hey, ask me about it. Ask our friend Tim in Savage. Ask some of our listeners. We got a listener in Bozeman. His knees were hurting. He wouldn't go on walks with his wife around the neighborhood because his knees hurt too bad. And then he heard us talk about Billings Last Diet. And he heard one of our listeners say that once he started losing the weight, his knees stopped hurting. This listener in Bozeman heard that. He said, I'm going to give this program a try. And he got healthy again. He lost over 100 pounds doing Billings Last Diet, even though he lives in Bozeman. Tim and Savage told us a few days ago he's now lost 50 pounds already, and he hasn't even been on the program 2 months yet. So if you want to get healthy again, I'm telling you, it can be a quick turnaround, just like what Brian talked about there. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give him a call, 294-6751. You can be in Butte. You can be on the High Line. Of course, if you're in Billings, they're right there, but they got the remote option too. If you live outside of Billings, check them out.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
One of the things that came out of this election is the death of the legacy state-run media mob. They're done. I mean, if you have every major newspaper in the country for 9 years, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, danger, Donald Trump, convict, mugshots, you know, Russia, Russia, and it's just, you know, threat to democracy, ending in Nazi, fascist, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, you know, and we're all garbage if we support them. And the American people have heard it for 9 years, and it had not only no impact, if anything, it had a negative impact, because people are sick and tired of being fed lies, misinformation, and propaganda.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
You know, as the holidays approach, it is so essential to recognize that personal safety is a year-round priority. Now, crime tends to spike during this time of year, making it even more critical to protect what matters most. Now, this holiday season, gift your loved ones with peace of mind with a Byrna less lethal launcher. The Byrna launcher is a safe, effective defense solution and tool equipped with powerful non-lethal deterrence, including tear gas and kinetic rounds. Now, you can hit a target 50, 60 feet away, And that's capable of stopping any perpetrator, any attacker right there in their tracks. Now, why choose Byrner? Byrner offers you peace of mind that you deserve without the legal or mental burden of a firearm. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background check, no permit, and they can ship it directly to your door. That's why Byrner is trusted by over 500 government agencies, police departments, and private security firms. Just go to their website, Byrner, BYRNA.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off. That's Byrner.com/Hannity. Protect what matters most without compromise.
Securing America.
ICE is not wasting any time making a swift move hours after a Donald Trump election victory by asking companies to submit bids for technology and management tools to monitor illegal migrants. These surveillance plans call for the production of ankle monitors, GPS trackers, biometric check-in technology, and human agents to track people awaiting a court hearing or deportation. Although this would be an expansion on the current alternative to detention program, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd, says the timing of this call to action was not a coincidence.
Make no mistake, this is simply and only because Donald Trump won the election. Had he have not won the election, they would have never put this out.
The latest data from ICE show that only about 195,000 people are currently under ICE surveillance, with only about 18,000 of them using GPS ankle monitors.
Laurel, Hardin, and Bridger, Town and Country Supply, rooted deep, growing strong. This is your co-op.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. What are we talking? Oh, I got to get to this RFK Jr. story. That's what I was going to get to as well here. Did you guys see that the New York Times? I know you're laughing already, too. All I have to do is say New York Times. It's like you're watching the boxing match and all of a sudden Mike Tyson's butt just shows up on screen. What the heck just happened? Similar effect when I just say the New York Times or 60 Minutes. You guys laugh. It's like Mike Tyson just showed his behind on national TV. You laugh. The New York Times. Did you guys watch? Caden, did you watch the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight? Man, it kind of seemed like a scam, didn't it? But man, the two women, Taylor and Serrano, they stole the show. Man, that was an incredible boxing match. He's not much of a combat sports guy. That's all right. Did you watch much of the high school sports action? Football over the weekend? Caden's filling in as our producer here this morning while Travis enjoys a day off. And we got to get him to do a sports report for us here one of these days. But, yeah, I think he's done some play-by-play of some local sports games. Anyway, very cool. But all right. Anyway, back to the New York Times story here. So the DailyWire.com has this, and Fox News had a story about it as well. I just couldn't get the Fox News story to print right for me this morning. So the New York Times tried to fact check Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You know, he wants to make America healthy again, and he's really kind of targeting the food industry. So apparently, RFK Jr. was talking about Fruit Loops. You guys know the cereal Fruit Loops. And RFK Jr. was apparently saying how, well, look, in Fruit Loops, you know, the Fruit Loops that are made to sell in America has, you know, these certain chemicals. It has red dye, for example. It has yellow 5 and blue 1 and BHT. Well, the New York Times goes loopy over that. They go loopy over RFK Jr. criticizing Fruit Loops that are sold in America. And he made the point that, look, they have some of these things that they use in Fruit Loops in America aren't even allowed to be sold in Fruit Loops in Canada. So why are these products banned in – these chemicals banned in Fruit Loops in Canada but allowed in America? And then the New York Times did a fact check on this. Like I say, they went loopy over Fruit Loops. Let's see here. What's the – I should have highlighted the key portions of this here. The title of the article in question is Kennedy's Vow to Take on Big Food Could Alienate His New GOP Allies –
The New York Times, let's see, let's get to it here. The article quoted Kennedy as asking during an interview with MSNBC, why do we have Fruit Loops in this country that have 18 or 19 ingredients, and you go to Canada and it has two or three? The writer continued, noting that Kennedy was, quote, wrong on the ingredient count and that the cereal in the U.S. and Canada is roughly the same. But then the New York Times, in their own fact check of RFK Jr., added this. But the Canadian version does have natural colorings made from blueberries and carrots, while the U.S. product contains red dye 40, yellow 5, and blue 1, as well as butylated hydroxytoluene, if I pronounce that right there, or BHT, a lab-made chemical that is used for, quote, freshness, according to the ingredient label. So anyway, so here's the New York Times trying to say, oh, RFK, you know, he's wrong when he says that Fruit Loops in Canada are different from Fruit Loops in the United States. And then they go on to actually point out all of the different things that are different about the Fruit Loops in the U.S. compared to the Fruit Loops in Canada. Like I say, they went loopy over the Fruit Loops facts spit out by RFK Jr. That's why I love steak and eggs anyway, for breakfast especially.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy conditions today, some snow showers move into the Bozeman area with an inch or two expected. And then we'll see rain showers moving into the Billings area. Temperatures will stay steady and falling into the upper 20s in the Bozeman area with highs in the low to mid 40s in Billings. Tonight, rain or snow shower chance early in Billings. Snow showers taper off in Bozeman. Lows in the mid-teens to the mid-20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is huge. Billings, Montana is getting a brand new hockey rink thanks to Montana Coal, thanks to Signal Peak. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.